What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, you are rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. A happy April 15th tax day to you. Hopefully those who haven't are getting them in. Grizzly season is over. And those are numbers that we hope to never see again. 27 wins, 51 starting lineups, 33 players used. Hoping we ain't going to see anything like that for a long, long time. Got exit interviews today. Kleiman has already spoken. We will go through what they say and particularly what's important about what they say. I figured there were a few things that could come out of today, and we'll get to those. Play-ins are set in the NBA, and the storylines are juicy in the West. Scottie Scheffler, congratulations to him, wins a second Masters in 3 years. Penny Hardaway, one step closer to assembling an AAC All-Star team. He did that over the weekend, got a commitment. We'll talk about that. Then Ja Morant, man, I didn't hear this discussed this morning on Jeff Calkins' show, so we'll be breaking it down. Caught a bullet. Caught a stray. Maybe it wasn't such a stray. From Drake in a diss track released by Drake on Saturday. Now, some have questioned, Brad, whether the track was AI. I do not believe it to be the case. We will discuss, and we'll discuss what Drake said about Ja Morant.
Well, the reference, the veiled reference, no question. Didn't call him out by name, but made it clear who he was talking about.
It's very clear.
So we won't be able to play the audio.
It's a Ja Morant diss.
Yeah, he definitely got
him
called out.
Metro Boomin. Rick Ross.
K-Dot.
They all caught it.
Yeah, Rick Ross
Future.
Called Drake a white boy.
Yeah, he released something like 2 hours later.
Yeah.
In response to what Drake had said. He got in there very quickly.
Drake said Rick Ross is racist because he called Drake a white boy.
He called him white boy, said he's had some work done.
Yeah, he did. He did. He did say that. He did accuse him of that. And so,
but what did he say about Ja? We have to get to that.
Man, yeah.
There's a good chance many of our listeners don't know.
I don't think this was addressed at Zach Kleiman's end-of-season press conference.
Maybe Ja will address it. What time is it? Is he already gone?
I think so.
I got the schedule. Okay. Okay.
But I could be wrong. Yeah, he's going. I think he's going now.
Okay.
I think he's going right now.
Well, dang it.
He says that his AAU team has brought some light that he needed to his life.
Oh, good.
You know? That's what we've got so far.
Come on, man. Ask him about the Drake thing before that.
Said he believes that the Grizzlies can win a championship next year.
Okay. Okay,
I'll accept that. It's a hard question, but it's really one that you have to ask.
It's Drake,
right?
This ain't the Rock play stuff,
right?
And we you know, he responded to that on social media.
Yeah,
this is him being pulled into the Drake hip hop Avengers beef.
It's the biggest beef we've had in a long time, and he's in the middle of it now.
I wasn't up on it Friday, as up on it as you and Sam were Friday, but I have studied now. And now that we got the, you know, diss track released Saturday, I feel like I come in at a good time.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, we'll get into all of that today here on the show. Got Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock, which we'll do, and the rest is going to be just sort of a 3 hour, we hope, masterpiece with lots of critical and deep thinking.
Yeah.
Hopefully, some laughs in there somewhere.
We know you'll provide those.
And just sort of a. An experience unto itself.
Okay.
Like that,
I just looked. You look like that eye cleared up.
Yeah.
Looking nice and white over there.
That will begin at 11, and we're going to take you all the way until 2. So imagine sort of a 3 hour flight. You know, maybe you take off at 11 a.m. and you're going to Miami, right? You land in Miami, we'll still be on the air. Remember when I put it like that, bro? It blew your mind back in the day when I was like, you could get on a flight from Memphis, you could go to Orlando, and we'd still be on the air, bro. 3 hours. Long time.
Not really.
But there's a lot to discuss today.
Exactly. It'll fly today.
Yeah, it'll fly today. We make no promises past today. You'll just have to bear with us here. But look, I guess we can start with the Grizz here as they are mercifully done this year. It's over. Thank God.
Friday night was actually fun, but yes, you're right. That's the thinking is thank God it's over.
Yeah, the fun is relative. You know, it's...
Friday night was fun.
What was it again?
Pushing the Lakers to the limit with eight dudes, man. The Lakers are...
Apparently...
It took everything from LeBron and AD to win that game.
It took an extra 1 minute and 6 seconds.
Actually, yeah. How about that?
That's now, unacceptable.
Whose fault is that?
It's everybody's fault.
Is it the refs or is it the
well, it's everybody's
keeper?
Fault.
Is it the
it's everybody's fault?
NBA's fault?
The refs should have noticed.
Who will be blamed? Is what I'm asking.
I think probably
who's responsible?
The Grizzlies. Who is ultimately, but the refs are there too, and they have their
little... hope is that somebody's head ain't rolling because the clockkeeper added another 106 or whatever it was.
Because it didn't benefit the Grizzlies, right?
You could say who knows how that game turns out if there's not an extra.
Apparently they were leading.
Yes, they were leading. LeBron had to freaking finish it off with a steal and a dunk.
That like if you say okay an extra if you take off that extra 106 at that moment the Grizzlies were leading, so. You know, I don't know. I really don't know. But
kind of crazy.
I will say, like,
doesn't happen.
That's unacceptable.
It is.
That's unacceptable in a league where people bet money.
My hope is that nobody in Memphis lost their job over that.
And can you imagine if that was an actual meaningful basketball game?
Right. Now that's the other thing about not losing a job on this because
it was not a meaningless game.
It was meaningless for the Grizzlies.
But like, our
Lakers needed it.
Were the Grizzlies tanking so hard that like the scorekeepers were like asleep, like nobody was just paying attention? I mean, I don't know how you get there. I don't know how you get to...
Again, it's been a long year, so if it was those clock folks, I don't...
We've added a minute.
I can't blame them too tough. Cause
I would be more understanding
year.
If you wanted to take a minute and six off.
Out.
Yeah, like, and just make it a 46...
I'm just saying, you probably lost
...minute
track.
Game.
You just lost track, man. You lose a little bit of focus in a 27-win season.
And then last night, I don't know if you saw this, it's unrelated to the Grizzlies, but it's sort of related to the discussion. Boban intentionally missed a free throw.
For chicken. To help the fans get chicken.
Again, a meaningless game to some, but
it's not same level.
To others, that you could bet on that game. I mean, what are we doing? Is this wrestling? I mean, it's crazy.
Don't bet on a game that's got Boban in it.
Don't bet on a game. Don't bet on an NBA game. You got Jontay Porter out here shaving points. You got Boban
to ban him.
I mean, and the Grizzlies just add, like
Boban makes, get a little suspension.
It definitely makes me believe that the Grizzlies added blocks to Jaren Jackson's stat sheet. If we're out here just adding minutes to the game.
His numbers did go down this year.
Okay, they did go down. That helps.
Well, back down from last year when they weren't they? Wasn't it last year when he was being questioned? We were being questioned by the rest of the NBA and Reddit.
Yeah, it was last year.
The Reddit theories about Jaren. And
well, I think the theories maybe were well founded. You know, I'm not sure, but anyway, the season is over. Obviously, you could tell we were very emotional about that today. It was a hard season. It was a grind, no question about it. And now the attention turns to what. The Grizzlies can do and what they will do. By the way, D. Rose is talking. He want to let you know.
That's interesting that he's there and Kennard is not.
He plans to come back to basketball, and he wants to play for the Grizzlies next season.
Well, he's got one more year on his contract.
Yeah. So he just wanted to let you know that. And I hope, honestly, for him that he gets a year where it's competitive. Because this was not that.
No. We're reserving a seat for him to continue to mentor Ja.
Yeah.
You are not. We don't need him to play next year.
Well, a little bit.
No, you don't.
A little bit.
No,
I'm just saying he can get a little bit
because there's been another revelation besides Gigi, besides Vince,
Scottie Pippen.
You dang right. And you're going. I would put Scottie Pippen on a two-way out there before Derrick Rose next year all day long. And between Bane and Marcus Smart, yeah, there's.
You just let Derrick. You gotta let Scottie walk.
We are not letting Scottie Pippen Jr. walk. He is on a two-way locked up.
No, because you got the nostalgia. You got to maintain with D. Rose. You know what I'm saying? Anytime you can get a chance,
That's the beauty of the thing, John. You can keep D. Rose on that last year of his contract as one of the 15. Keep Scottie on the two-way.
You don't think somebody would want to sign him to a big deal? Not a big deal, but like a more extensive deal.
He was cut by the Lakers. You think based on what he's done and the opportunity?
I don't know. I don't know.
We've been watching closely, but has the rest of the NBA. Like,
what about the Raptors or something?
Anybody signing Scotty?
Okay.
We're keeping him on the two-way. And if, again, we're not converting.
He did play really well.
Oh, my gosh.
He's young, right?
Is he young? Yes. You remember he's at Vanderbilt a couple years ago playing against Memphis.
Yeah, he's
we talked about that the other day.
Yeah, I got to find out. But he feels
he has all the makings of a young, cheap backup point guard that you need.
He's 23. So, yeah, very young.
If you don't believe that, you're not watching closely.
I agree totally. That's what I'm worried about. I mean, the dude did have 28, 5, and 6 against the Lakers, bro. You're not hiding this guy.
The end of that game told me everything I needed to know about that guy. He swipes the ball away from D'Angelo Russell, goes and dives on the floor, beats him to it. D'Angelo jumps on his face, hits him. He still gets the bounce pass over Little Ravia for the dunk. Did you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
One play summed up everything about him this year. Effort, effort, effort on both ends. And dude is more than competent in terms of what we're done with the days of having a 20-something million dollar backup point guard or whatever Tyus Jones was making. You need cheap. He provides that. Between him and, you know, Bane Smart and a broke up Derrick Rose, we'll get it figured out behind Ja next year. I like what you got already.
Yeah, no, listen, it's a lot of, it's one of the decisions that the Grizzlies are going to have to make. If you can get him back on a two-way, absolutely not even a question about it. You do that.
Yes.
You know, Kleiman said that we have to go out and we have to get a big.
I'm glad that he didn't play around with it.
They're not trying to hide the ball. Not that I think that there was much of a discussion about that. I did not see any sort of, you know, particulars in terms of how they want to, like, what kind of big they want to add, where they want to add him from, whether that be the trade market, whether that be the draft. I mean, that looked like it was not, you know, and I guess it's hard to do that when you don't know where you're picking. You know, if you don't know where you, like, if you're picking number one, if you win the lottery or you're picking number two, maybe you feel like maybe you can add a big through the draft. Or you can trade. I mean, it just depends on, exactly where you end up. But I think that was the big stuff coming. There wasn't a ton of news. Jaren says he wants to play for Team USA. I'm not sure if he will make the roster. I guess, you know, it will be tough. It'd be tough.
I would think he'd get a crack at it after what he did for, you know, in the FIBA.
Yeah, but it was an embarrassing team.
Yeah, but he played well.
He played well, but the team was, it went out in humiliation.
Understood. But did you see what Brunson just did to close out the year?
Yeah.
Like, I want some of those guys back.
I agree.
I would think Jaren would be given the chance to.
Yeah.
Now, if AD and these guys say, I'm in,
right.
Yeah, you probably get kicked to the back.
Embiid's already committed. You know, AD, we'll see. I mean, he's got a back thing going on now. So
I hope he doesn't.
But you have Tatum, LeBron, you know, Durant. You have all those guys, Draymond, you know. So I'm just not sure.
How about this for your big? Because Bobby Marks had this in his offseason guide. I think it's relevant right now. Per Cleaning the Glass, about whether or not the Grizzlies lean a big man. The Grizzlies were outscored by 7.4 per 100 points per possession. I know that comes out, but it's 7.4 per 100 points per possession this season when Jaren Jackson Jr. started at center. And the 63% possessions he spent at power forward in 2022-23, the Grizzlies were plus 10.5 points per 100 possessions. Like, it's... this is a no-brainer, and it's why Zach has to come out today and say you got to do that. And he also talks about how you could possibly, Bobby Marks, use the pick. We don't know what it is yet, but use the pick along with Kennard and this team option for the last year. Go get your big through trade. We've talked about that. Bobby lays it out, too, as one of the options. I think,
right.
You know, the fact that Kennard's not there today, you know, the Grizzlies have this option on him, and, you know, at 14 or whatever, $14 million, he's going to put you over the cap. And so they've got a decision to make, and can you use him? You know, it's one thing you just not pick up the option, but can you use him to help you lure the big in? Perhaps. But what's clear is they got to have the big. They got to have him. You know, you cannot start the year next year with Jaren and Brandon Clark, okay, as your two starters.
Right.
Go out and get this big.
Right.
Again, I don't think that should be a rookie big. I'm not comfortable even if you somehow landed Klingon to put him in there next to Jaren to start the year.
Yeah.
Because next year is must win. And you know, is he ready to contribute to a playoff, to a contender? Probably not. But so I'm open to trading that pick and getting a veteran. If it helps you get the veteran center in here that Zach Kleiman confirmed today, they got to go out and get.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting
season. Well, I guess he didn't say veteran necessarily.
He did not say veteran.
He said center,
which
could mean just getting you a rookie center out of the draft.
It just depends to me on where the
timelines
falls.
Don't match up, man. You got to win now. Putting a rookie center in the middle just doesn't make a lot of sense.
And the lottery's not for another month, so, I mean, we won't know.
And then you're going to be... there's a good chance you're too low because your best chance to get eight. It's
right.
The drop back actually
right.
From the sub. You're too low to get clinging likely and too high to go for like an ED or somebody like who's in that range. That's a center.
Yeah. You're kind of,
so it's kind of no man's land possible, potentially, unless you jump up to two or something like you did freaking 2019.
Right. Yeah.
You're kind of in no man's land for that center. Cause exactly. I'm not one who believes that Zach Edey has moved into the lottery. I know Gavoni's got that, but most have still got him, you know, out of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you pick five or six,
and he ain't a starting center in this league right off the bat either.
You would
and
have
probably
a,
not ever.
You would have a chance at five or six
to get clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and then you'd have to make a decision. Mm. But it feels like the Grizzlies won't do anything until at least after May 12th.
Yeah, you got to know what it is first.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it'll be they'll be in a holding pattern and see, you know, who's available and who's not. But hey, season is over. Onward, brother. I mean, it was absolutely devastating, but it's over. So
I mean, G.G. Jackson, 44, bro. I know you're not impressed because he took 36 shots.
His season's been very good.
We've never seen anything like this. Kid's 19, and he just turned 19 in December. You know, to go. I know he took 36 shots, but to score 44 points, put yourself on another list where nobody's done it in terms of with him. It's the most points scored by a guy his age. It's pretty incredible what you found there. Again, we've talked about how bad the 27 wins. Oh, this has been. But to pull that out of it, to pull Vince Williams Jr., a potential starter next season, out of it, to feel really good about Brandon Clark going into next year, to maybe have found a backup point guard option, a real one in Scottie Pippen Jr., there's some real good that will benefit you next season that's come out of this slog of a year.
Absolutely right. So that's the update on the Grizzlies as they call it a year, do their exit interviews, and then they will be on to the off season where there should be quite a bit of change for those guys. Secondly, Penny Hardaway adds another player last night, and again, it's a familiar friend. If you watch the AAC league games, Colby Rogers is the University of Memphis's latest commitment. The shooter from Wichita State has 1 year left of eligibility. Just get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Averaged 16.4 points a game on 41% shooting from three, 83% shooting from the free throw line. And, of course, as we know, had some big shots against Memphis there in the quarterfinal. I guess it wasn't even the quarterfinal. It was the second round game of the AAC tournament.
Yeah.
And then had 19 against the Tigers here in Memphis before the Tigers stormed back and were able to win that game. So that is now three commits for the University of Memphis in this 2024 transfer portal class. It's P.J. Haggerty from Tulsa. It is Colby Rogers from AAC. It is Dane Danger from Illinois. They are involved now with several other guys, two players from North Texas, Aaron Scott and John Buggs, Arturo Dean. There are a couple others, but this is sort of how it is all shaping up. On the surface, I mean, great pickup. I mean, this is a 41% free throw shooter. Good grief, 3-point shooter, and he took a lot of them. Right, we saw it three times. Mm-hmm. The guy can flat out shoot the ball. Not going to come in here to play defense or by any stretch of the imagination, but got good size, 6'4", played a lot of minutes last year, and was efficient from three. You know, that definitely fills a need. So in a vacuum, no question about it. Here is where I'm starting to get concerned. This is an approach to me that I am very unsure of. It's one thing to sort of pick the best player from the league like he did in 2022 in Kendrick Davis. That was undeniable. He was the player of the year. He was amazing. Mm-hmm. He came in and he was every bit the player you ever hoped that he would be. But now, especially when you are talking about potentially adding two more from North Texas, Aaron Scott and again, maybe Colby takes Aaron Scott out of the equation. I don't know. But John Buggs, same thing. Again, don't know. It feels like too much AAC in my mind. This is a league that ranked, just so we're clear, worse than the Missouri Valley. This was 9th or 10th at KenPom in terms of a league. And so while there are individually good players in it, mm-hmm. just like there are individually good players in every league, I don't know if I'm bullish on the approach of just like legitimately assembling the all-stars from the AAC.
AAC all-star.
And hoping that it's built for something that will equate to anything more than winning games in the AAC.
I think that's absolutely fair to be concerned about that. You know, because one of the pros we hope on Dane is that you're dropping down.
Yes.
Right, from a better conference. And that's going to translate over to this one. There's a couple things for here for me. Number one is you had to have shooting. Now, and so I put that up. You know, 99 threes last year. You haven't had anybody around here. By the way, 40% shooting from three. So he's another level of three-point shooter. And what have we said about the guys they brought in so far and the guys they've been looking at? Don't have a lot of shooting here. Oh, by the way, Ashton Hardaway just hit the transfer portal, too. He was a guy that potentially could have been one for you. And so you needed it. And that's why I'm willing in this case, because here's what I said. You want multi-year guys. Well, this is a one-year guy who even tells Jason Munns in a story over the commercial appeal, this is it for me. This is my career. Didn't we say last year that that was an issue when you bring in all these one-year guys? They know it's make or break for them. If it ain't going right for them, you stand to what? To be chemistry issues.
Right.
Bring up Jaquan Watson. Oh, by the way, does he have eligibility or not? Is dude in the portal?
Yeah, bro, he apparently has a year.
We read all day that Jaquan was done with eligibility.
Apparently he's got a year.
Is this like a DeAndre thing where he's hoping to get a year? Or you go in and jump in the portal? DeAndre didn't get in the portal. Anyway, back to the pickup here. You'd like him to be multi-year. You'd like him to not be a sort of, this has got to be make or break for me. Because, again, it's those kind of situations it feels like that can lead to potential chemistry issues, particularly if it's not going well. This was what, Wichita State's leading scorer last year?
Mm-hmm.
If he ain't getting it, because P.J. Haggerty's taking all the shots. And, oh, by the way, David Jones decided to come back. He's averaging 20. And the year ain't going for this kid. Like, you know, that's what can go. So that's why I tell you your criticism is fair along with the whole.
Right.
Well, if we got the AAC, you can add up some of the best guys in the AAC. Does it add up to something that's going to move, you know, the needle nationally? It's both of those things.
Yep.
That said, though, John, you desperately needed three-point shooting. And this guy was far and away one of the best three-point shooters in the country, not just the AAC.
Yep.
And so hopefully, yes, it's going to work out. I'll throw you this scenario. What if David Jones don't come back? Well, then you had said this. You needed other scorers.
You have to have a contingency plan.
You can't just have P.J. Haggerty.
No doubt about it.
You know, you got to have a contingency plan.
Because here's the thing. If David Jones comes back, you can always push one of these new dudes out.
Out.
I mean.
Exactly.
So.
And P.J. Haggerty called Rodgers and said, I want to play with you.
Yes.
So we're going along the scenario in this case. You don't get David Jones back. Okay, here's 1-2 punch.
Right.
You know?
Not awful. I mean, not awful.
No, but again, what did you say? You got to have a backup plan.
Yep.
If David Jones doesn't come back, you got to have a backup plan. Benny's got to be working on it.
Correct.
So maybe this could be part of that.
No,
Either way, you know, I think you had to have it because of the shooting, and you keep your fingers crossed that it's not a situation sort of like we saw last year with Jaquan Walton.
Again, like you are with David Jones, it's going to be at the buzzer.
Right.
So you won't know.
And what have you kept saying? You want him in here earlier than you've been getting him in here.
Yes.
Penny wanted it in June last year. Didn't happen.
Yes.
And so, again, having these guys set, having a backup plan set, and not having to wait until June or whatever, we finally get that decision from David Jones, smart.
Yes.
And you said that should be the plan.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Now, so we've addressed your concerns, which I think are fair, but we can kind of see here where it could work, a scenario where it does work out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, Kobe Rogers was pursued by, like, Kansas.
He had the big boys on him.
Yeah. So, again, like,
I liked that.
I think if we had not had the Jaquan Walton experience,
we'd
be very different.
Well,
we'd feel very different about this.
Yeah.
We know 40% shooters from three from Wichita State get here, and they don't do that anymore, right? So, no, there's no doubt about it. I would just say, like, I think, and you pointed it out about danger. Like, I saw Hitman Hoops put a tweet out. Memphis reached out to Sam Houston State transfer Devon Barnes. He's from Memphis, played at Collierville, but he played at Sam Houston State. And I think I think the instances of guys jumping up to this level from a lower one where it's been successful, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Well, wasn't the two year ago team more like that, Elijah McCadden coming up? And we said if you're going to have, you know,
Georgia Southern or something
like that. Yeah. But role players behind the top two in the pecking order.
Fair enough. And Elijah was good for what he had to be. He was good
for his role.
Now, he ended up on the wrong side defining play of the season.
Again, a lot of players had, you know,
I think that's a good call out. He ended up, but Keontae Kennedy, not good. He came from UTEP or wherever the hell he was at.
Didn't he have a pretty decent year last year?
I think he did at Cal, yeah. Maybe he could have
kept him from a shooter standpoint.
Right. No, I mean, maybe that's – I think about Christian Kessie. I think about Jordan Brown.
No, those are
– I think about, you know –
those are bad cases certainly where it didn't work coming up.
And so I feel like, you know, you
– But if this is part of having a more – okay, pecking order where I've got some studs at the top and the role players behind them.
It's different.
Like it was years ago.
Absolutely. If you can do that, you know, I think. And look, you can sort of see the framework with PJ being this team's version of Kendrick. You know, people want to come play with him. And, you know, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Like James Wiseman was the fulcrum. Is PJ sort of the same thing? Maybe he is.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
He's making calls.
Yeah, that seems like a positive.
They're listening.
That
Rogers
gives me hope for, you know, fostering a good chemistry, that he's actively involved in that, and he's not just like, you know, get whoever you get. This is my world. You know, that's definitely a positive, but I just think my concerns are, why are you relying so heavily on a league that objectively sucks? That is my big. Is it my view of this whole approach right now is, you know, why not go get a guy that's not happy or not good enough for the Big Ten or the Big 12 as opposed to, you know, the guys in the AAC? Like, it could work. I'm open to that for all the reasons that you said. Like, if you establish, okay, here's our
it's
top
all about
three.
How the pieces fit together.
Absolutely.
This year. That's what it's all about.
And we can't know until the ball's tipped. Like, we won't know. We thought 17 games into last season.
That's what I was going to say. It won't even be the first game ball tipped. It'll be on into February and March, unfortunately.
Man, crazy. Crazy that we can't even really weigh in on a team in Memphis until January or February now and try to look smart. You know?
They've gotten an on-the-ball guy who was second in the AAC in scoring.
Got that.
I mean, you've added, what, the eighth score in the AAC and the second score in the AAC and PJ and this
Kobe,
kid Kobe
okay.
Rogers I think he was eighth last year. You know, you've addressed shooting,
right?
You've gotten a big. I mean, you're going to need more of all of this, but you can, you know, you can see the boxes being checked. Again, it'd be nice to get a couple more multi-year guys.
Yes,
I don't want it all stacked up with 1 years. That's what I mean. And I'm sure Penny doesn't, which is what's important here. Just went through that. But hopefully it's all going to, you know, the puzzle pieces will come together. Again, you needed the shooting, you know, hopefully the rest of it's all going to fall into place.
Yeah, it'll be interesting
to
see.
If there's no David Jones, you needed another score besides P.J. Haggerty. You did.
I don't think Kobe Rogers, like, he's a good player.
He's 16.3 points per game last year. He's eighth in the AAC in scoring.
P.J. Haggerty, good player.
We're talking AAC.
But, you know, I even have my own sort of question about...
But how many guys that did it at those bigger conferences are coming down, that put up numbers...
Right, no, it's
are coming down.
There are not many.
And then not asking for a fortune
exactly.
in NIL. I think you've probably got to be careful with, too.
No doubt.
Especially if the bulk of it's going to go to David Jones.
Yeah, I mean, look...
And P.J. Haggerty, you got to be careful with how you sort of divvy out the rest of it.
It's fair. It's totally fair. No approach is perfect, you know?
Yeah,
it's just.
Yeah, I ain't trying to talk you off where you're at because I think your take's fair, but I'm sort of discussing all of this.
I don't think there really is.
Is he hitting on some things that we said he had to do, which is get them in early,
right?
Hit the guys that you've prioritized, so you've got them, and those dominoes aren't falling later in the summer when you're trying to fill spots. And again, guys don't know each other. They haven't been in there since June with the other guy. And so you get to the season, and hell, there's no chemistry because the guys just all came together.
Yeah, I think a lot of where I'm at with this, honestly, centers around my thoughts and relative skepticism on PJ himself as sort of the center of it, because it's very different to do it at a bad Tulsa team where everybody just clears the way. Mm-hmm. It's all you, big dog. You know, and you can average 21 a game. But coming into a place where it's like you're expected to win and you're expected to be competitive and win the league, like, what is that going to – are you going to be able to be the same caliber of player in that framework, in that context? Yeah. I think that's very much up in the air, you know. And that's where Penny's going to have to put his hands on that, right? He's going to have to, you know, make that work. But I don't expect P.J. Haggerty to – to – do you? Like, I don't expect him to look anything in terms of his production like last year. I mean, I would – again, we have
again,
to see how
it so much depends on David Jones and how much of the offense and the opportunities he's taking.
Right.
If he's, you know
– like, can P.J. be good as a 14-point a game scorer? You know what I mean?
Well, like, he's going to have to be because he's not – this guy's not going to the NBA as a lead guard. You understand what I'm saying with that? And that's, I guess, you know, again, with, you know, those that are worth with Penny, that's what you can pull out of him in terms of the guys that want to be pros. It's playing that point guard position. That's what he's going to have to be at his size in the league if he gets there.
Yep.
And so it has to be about becoming more of a point guard for him in terms of if we're talking NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overseas, everything you got all day, you know, those smaller lead guards, you know, they can do. But for him... John, that may need to be a part of it.
Absolutely,
and particularly if you're bringing David Jones back, he's going to be more of a setup guy a lot of the times for David Jones.
I mean,
but for his career, right? If we're talking about him and thinking NBA, you know, all these guys are he's going to need to be,
right?
You know, a little less aggressive with the shot and more aggressive with the playmaking. Hopefully, that's happening for him, and hopefully, it's happening in Memphis for a couple of years. You know, this isn't a deal where we're talking about, you know, P.J. Haggerty being gone after a year. Again, that's how you get continuity, having guys in your program. I'm hoping you get P.J. for at least two of the 3 years he's got of eligibility he's got left.
Yeah, I would also, like, I saw a little bit of this on P.J., like, you got to tap the brakes on, like, comparing this dude to Kendrick Davis. Like, I saw that last.
Well, Kendrick had done it.
Bro.
You know, we'd done it 1 year with on a bad Tulsa team.
16-15, where nobody
Kendrick
else.
Kendrick had done it against Memphis, so, you know, for SMU.
Yeah.
You know, those were decent SMU, although they never made the tournament.
Right.
Can't sit up here and tell you they were SMU, they were tournament teams. They
were. Yes.
But Kendrick was proven, bro.
Only one other player on Tulsa's team averaged double figures.
Oh.
So understand that was the way that team was constructed was very different than the one that he is going to be on this season. You know, Kendrick Davis was the player of the year. You know, P.J. put together a very impressive freshman year, but it's not like we're talking about a dude that was efficient. I mean, he shot 28% from three.
Well, that's why you needed the shooting.
Yeah.
In particular.
Yeah.
Kobe Rogers.
So I think like that's probably where the majority of my like skepticism comes in is that okay, P.J. Haggerty, is he going to be your best player? Because if he is. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't know what that experiment looks like.
My hope is that he's your second best player behind David Jones.
Exactly. That would be the perfect.
Correct.
You know, if he's your best player, they were 16-15 last year with P.J. Haggerty as their best player. Mm-hmm. Now, they probably didn't have the surrounding talent overall that Memphis is going to have, but, I mean, it ain't going to be that much different. I mean, it's mostly AAC dudes. Mm-hmm. So,
and
you
Big
know.
Dang.
And Dane, and who should average in this league 20-20.
Could be more AAC dudes on the way.
Oh, absolutely. Why stop now?
The Avengers.
I would just, how many Infinity Stones are we up to? I think we're up to three.
Now, he did, I'm telling you, turn one down in Ivy Curry. He ain't just taking all of them.
Okay.
Who did play well against him last year.
That's true.
As opposed to the folks that are on Facebook and everything
right.
Say he's taking every player that did a little something against him last year. Didn't take Ivy Curry, who ended up at Virginia Tech.
That has got
to
be.
And there was major interest on Memphis, on Ivy Curry's side of coming to Memphis.
That has
got to
be. So
he didn't take everybody.
As a human being who plays basketball in the American Athletic Conference, to be turned down by Penny is the greatest insult one can receive. It really is. And he had a big game against Memphis.
Yes, he did.
It's really. I can't personally think of. Something worse.
Well, remember, you brought his numbers to me, and you showed me how, even though, you know, he only got eligible like December. Just.
Right, yeah, he was one of those.
By the time he did, and that's why he wasn't among the scoring leaders in the AAC, but by the time he did, he was putting up numbers. That said, he was not efficient, and here was the deal. He only had 1 year of eligibility. Now, the difference between him and Kobe Rogers is that Kobe Rogers shot 40% from three last year
yes.
and made 99, which was like 15 more than anybody else in the AAC.
Yes.
And so the efficiency was better. And so if I'm taking a one-year score, I'm going to take Rogers. So that's, you know, in that case, it looks like you made the right decision.
Right.
Pick between 2 1-year guys, you take Rogers in this case.
Yeah.
Because the numbers were better from three.
Absolutely. Anyway. Busy times over at the University of Memphis.
When's that Malcolm thing coming out?
Who? Oh, dude, we on.
Y'all forgot about Malco?
We on to.
I'm just mate.
24. You trying to bring up.
You're right, he is gone, so I guess it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's not going to affect the future.
Yeah, you're trying to bring up old stuff, bro.
I'm just checking, man. I'm just checking. You're talking about news coming out.
No.
I don't even know if anybody's doing any more.
Recruiting
is the investigation even happening? Is it over?
We're talking about recruiting news. You're talking about old stuff, man. You know, as far as onward and upward. You know, I'm a forward-looking guy. You're trying to live in the past. You know, the academic
only if it affects the
player
future,
is gone.
Am I trying to live in the past?
You know what I'm saying?
Am I trying to get answers on that?
Let me ask you this.
I'd like to have that knowledge that is not going to affect you going forward. Yeah, I'd like to know that absolutely. I would.
Does the AAC appear concerned to you, man?
No,
because
it looks to me like everybody wants
to line up and play.
Seemed like Malco just took the bullet for y'all. Y'all put him in. He took it.
I think he probably is responsible for the events that took place. So that's accountability for your actions. And Memphis did the right thing by not playing him ever again in the event that they ever did.
Well, he couldn't have been completely responsible because an advisor was fired.
Well, she's fired. She got fired, and he never got to play again. So that's the way the cookie crumbles. I guess we'll see. We'll see. Hey, Mark Pope got introduced this weekend.
We were wrong.
You were there?
About Mark Pope. No, I wasn't.
You
but we were
go?
Wrong about him. He won the presser.
Oh, he won the presser, man.
We said he wasn't going to win the presser. He won the presser.
He did
with their
that.
Little gimmicks and tricks.
Right.
Pulling up in that bus with the whole team.
But what does it really mean? We'll talk about it. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 92.9 FM. Yes.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We have some exciting changes coming to this show very soon. I don't want to
oversell much.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a pretty big development, Jason.
Okay.
I think it's a shift. It's a shift in energy. It's a telekinetic shift. I'm stepping down. I've had enough, quite frankly, and I've been told.
And then bragging.
I've been told that I can't walk out anymore, so that takes a big sort of piece of ammo.
I'm glad they told
away
you
from
that.
Me. That's what our new GM said. You can't walk off anymore, which to me,
I like. She's gonna be hands
is
on.
Is ridiculous. I should at least get two of those a year. We have some very big changes coming that are related sort of to, you know, the big beef.
Those walkouts a lot like Draymond. Now that I think about it. Unpredictable.
Unpredictable, bro.
Yeah, you got to get yourself under control.
We had two in like a year, and none in the first six.
He's our Draymond.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I think that because when Draymond's at his best, he lifts.
And I'm like Clay and Steph when you're gone. I just sit there, can't be myself when he's gone.
Is that how you feel, bro?
Yeah.
Is that how you feel? And I'm like Draymond. I don't ever want to play if you're not here.
We might be Golden State.
Is this it? Is this our last run?
This is it back because their back is against the wall.
Oh,
it truly
damn.
Is. I hope that's not the case for us.
Yeah, so I guess it's a good time to talk about the playoffs. The play-ins are set. There's a little, like, yesterday was interesting, right? It was intriguing.
Absolutely.
Because of.
Had the East going and then the West going all together.
Yeah, so the Lakers were playing for, I'll just sort of work in chronological order here.
Right.
The Lakers were playing the Pelicans for the right to get to the 8. Had they lost, they would have, I think, dropped to 10. But if they had they won, they would get to 8. And even if they lose, got to the Pelicans yesterday, you know, of course, lose to the Pelicans in the play-in, they would still have the right to lose to the Pelicans on Tuesday. They would still have the right to host the winner of the 9-10.
Correct.
Right. So it meant a lot to get to that 8 spot for the Los Angeles Lakers. We know old ass LeBron did not want to have to play and win two games for the right to be the 8 seed.
Which is what Golden State's now got to do, win two road games.
Exactly. Yep. So you have a rematch from yesterday, which was an epic beatdown of biblical proportions that LeBron put down on those Pelicans. Interestingly enough, Anthony Davis came up. It was concerning because it was a non-contact.
Mm-hmm.
He was just basically setting a screen, and he's kind of bouncing off of it.
You just wonder if the law of averages guy been healthy most of the season.
Exactly.
But not his career.
And I think the market is telling you how they feel about his availability in this one.
That New Orleans is favorite?
Yes.
Interesting.
Because if you watched that game yesterday, they would not be favored.
I'm assuming they're staying in. I hadn't seen it, but I'm assuming they're staying in New Orleans.
Okay. Yep, they're not going back because it's tomorrow.
Yes.
So, but I don't think that the Lakers being plus one is
I got 1.5.
Yeah, if it's 1.5, it's definitely not indicative of Anthony Davis being healthy. Because, again, that was an ass-kicking yesterday by the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, here's where it gets interesting.
Yes.
Nobody wants to play the Nuggets as the 7.
You wouldn't think.
I mean, not if you want
the Nuggets as the 2. The Nuggets, who shouldn't be the 2.
Correct.
They should be the 1, but correct, they lost to the Spurs.
Yes.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Everybody wants to be the 8.
So you play OKC.
So I you know, the Pelicans may want to be the 8. They may say the same thing. They may say, listen, we don't want to play the Nuggets in the first round either. You know? We know the Lakers don't want to because they want to maximize their chances of winning a title and not have to go through the Nuggets in the first round. Although you are right, you got to play those guys eventually. But I just wonder, like, will the Lakers take a cautious approach with AD and sell out for the second game of the play-in at home? I don't know. That seems crazy to tempt fate like that, but it also
makes sense from a strategy standpoint. You know, that you'd get a home game against the winner of Sacramento Golden State and feel pretty good about getting in. But again, like you said, you might be tempting fate. You're messing with the basketball gods when you're technically throwing a game.
And look,
throwing a play-in game here, and then pushing yourself back to further, you know, elimination status.
Exactly.
By doing that.
When would the second play-in
game be? That's why I don't think New Orleans would do it. Because they're less proven. They haven't been in situations where they're back against the wall. You know what I'm saying? And so, they, as far as they're concerned, your boy Willie Green, is probably win-win-win. They wouldn't play. The Lakers and LeBron would be the ones that might look at it that way. What's our best path? Because, again, it's about championships for LeBron because that career's coming to a close. And
right.
So, I think you will get, particularly having been drilled by them, you know, yesterday, I think you'll get the Pelicans' best ever. The Lakers thing is interesting, though, because I could see LeBron saying, I don't want Denver first round and be gone, and then I'm already thinking about next year. You know, I want OKC, and I know I will get OKC because I will beat the Sacramento Kings or Golden State Warriors at my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see him looking at it that way. I think either way, you're messing around. Clearly the Lakers in this situation, you'd be just messing with the basketball gods. I don't like the idea of doing that. That said, it's their best path forward.
Right.
Denver probably eliminate them first round. They're done.
I agree. I mean, they swept them last year.
Yeah.
When we saw, that's the thing. Like, they swept us, and we had everybody healthy, and everybody was good, and we're not different than last year.
It's essentially the same team.
Right. So do we really want to just, like, run that back in the first round? Like, do we not want to, like, at least give somebody else a shot to push them or
but
test
them? But in the end, you're going to have to play them again, as I told you off air.
But, you know, the reason why you
play them at some point anyway.
The reason why you would want to put that off for as long as you can, though, is because stuff can't happen. I don't wish it on anybody, but guys,
what about the scenario of catching them early? As opposed when they've got a layoff here, as opposed to catching them when they're rolling in the finals and they've got everything's in place and they rolled you like they did last year.
I mean, that would be one case, you know.
Yeah, you catch them rusty in game one.
But I'd rather just avoid them for as long as I can. Maybe somebody else pulls it up.
That is a better strategy, period. But again, it's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
Because, look, there's no guarantees you're going to beat if it's the Warriors that come out. There's no guarantees you're beating the Warriors there. And then you what? You tank I'm not saying you tank. But is it a situation where, like, this is how I envision it? If you're down, like, 16 and, like, with, like, 8 minutes left in the fourth, right?
Like, has AD played or not?
Let's say AD has played.
Because I could see one where you sit AD.
Let's say AD
depending
has played.
Depending upon how serious this is.
And you're down 16 in the fourth quarter because the Pelicans are shooting 60%.
Oh, you're already. That's done. You're wrapping that up.
Right. You're not going.
Because you can't drive AD in the ground to go to the next one.
Right. You're down just 16. My point is, that's what it looks like. That's conceding. That's conceding. And I think that's probably what they would do. Do I think the Pelicans would do the same thing if the situations were reversed? I don't know. That would be interesting. That's hanging over the whole thing. It's like who wants to play Denver? And I think the answer is nobody. Nobody wants to be the seventh seed this year. Just unfortunate. Unfortunate all the way around. So that was one.
Real quick, I wanted to see what the season series was. 3-1, LA.
Oh, against the Nuggets?
No, against the Pels.
Oh, yeah. The Pelicans are...
So, I mean, the idea that they'd be down 16 in the fourth, even on the road, I don't know.
Seems unlikely. I'm just saying, like...
They handled them pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, this would not be plus one Lakers if Anthony Davis was expected to be full strength.
All three of them were beatdowns, too. The one the Pelicans won, they won by 20, but every one the Lakers won were...
Exactly.
Dropped the hammer on them.
Yes.
16, 17, and then 44.
Yeah, and then there was a little bit of intrigue on the Eastern Conference side. When the Magic were hosting the Bucks, a lot was on the line there. Milwaukee controlled its own destiny. Had they won that game, they would be the 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
If they lost, I think they could have maybe been as low as 4, but most likely they were going to be the 3 seed had they lost that game. The Magic were playing for the right to stay out of the play-in. Had they lost that game yesterday, it's almost certain that they would have been in the play-in. So there were some, like, convoluted tiebreakers and things like that, but I think the Magic were on the wrong side of almost all of them. So they had to win to stay out of the play-in and stay as the 5 spot. And that's huge, right? That's a huge motivator. And what ended up happening is, obviously, we know no Giannis with the calf injury. The Bucks competed for a half, but by the end of the first half, the Magic defense really turned it up. They brought the energy, and the Bucks did not. And you could tell going into half that it was going to be – they were going to dog it. You could just tell they were going to dog it. They played their guys. They didn't sit anybody. But it was a very, very half effort, I would say, the rest of the way. Because they knew. Like, if you're the Bucks, why would – with the looming injury to Giannis, why would you want to play the 7, either Miami or Philly, whoever it is? You got the history with Miami from last year who put your ass out – In the 1-8, so you don't want to do that again. And then 76ers are the hottest team in basketball. So either one of those teams that comes out, right, you don't want to see. You don't want to see. So it made perfect sense to be the 3-6. Pacers ain't talking about nothing. They ain't talking about nothing. Now, the Knicks almost threw a wrench in it when they played around with the Bulls.
Yeah, went to OT.
But they ended up, I guess, saying, hey, whatever, we'll go for it. We'll take on the Sixers or the Miami Heat, whatever, and they ended up winning the game. So, yeah, it was an interesting, a very fascinating end of the regular season, thanks to the play-in.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that 76ers team come out of there as the 7. That's to John's point about being the 2. That 76ers team, I saw the note this morning. They are 31-8 with Embiid this year. When he has played, they are, you could argue, the best team in the league. And so that's why, you know, the jockey and everything else, who wants to see them as a 7 seed? They could very well make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals from that spot. And so I would not want to face Philadelphia. And I think Milwaukee was smart, frankly, to do that, especially as much as they've been struggling. Hell, Dame and Doc and Giannis weren't on the same page before Giannis got hurt.
Mm.
And so you're telling me you're going to see a 76ers team and that – you want to see a 76ers team in that first round that's, as you said, won 8 straight, it just rolling now that Embiid's back? No, you don't. And so it's actually a smart thing by Milwaukee there. I didn't think it was so smart by the Knicks. They had Stephen A. Smith and everybody cheering them on yesterday. Go for it! Go for it! Milwaukee's losing. You can get the 2. Man, they're going to get dispatched first round for as good a season as Brunson's had, especially the last 10 games. My gosh, he's averaging like almost 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to all be for naught. Likely, because this is a Philly team that's looked like, they've been waiting on this all year long. Again, 31-8 with Embiid is as good as anybody in the league.
No doubt.
And you've got Embiid now. So That's the Knicks win. You get rah-rah. New York's happy there. We're two seed. They're going to wish that they had lost that game and dropped back to three. Because if both had lost, Bucks were still two, right?
I believe so.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
because they were the two going into the day.
Happy Sunday for the Knicks, but I'm telling you that one's going to cost them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Does Silver not have an issue here with some?
I know it was like the jockeying here at the end and the laying down,
so that we're trying to get this matchup and that matchup.
It ain't great.
No, it's not. Now the reason that's happening is because you have studs in the play-in. That's the issue. And then, of course, because nobody wants to play Denver on that west side for the two. But and that won't always be the case. Like we were discussing with John last week, I don't know that the play-in will always be great once you've got the Stephs and LeBrons and the Philadelphias and the Miami Heats out of it. Look at that Chicago-Atlanta matchup.
Right.
Like at some point, it's just going to be the bottoms of the league and not, you know, superstar players on aging teams.
Right.
But all that said, because you have that issue, right now you got teams looking like they're laying down in that last game. It was not a scene that I'm sure Silver was proud of.
No, I agree.
Even though clearly the play-in has been a good thing for the league.
It's been a net positive.
Yes.
But there's definitely a part of it that's like, yeah, you kind of cringe a little bit.
The whole spirit of competition thing is getting thrown out the window here.
Would it be different if it was just normal standings? I mean, it'd kind of be the same thing, right? I mean, didn't the Grizzlies do that one year where they intentionally tried to avoid somebody and it ended up costing them the basketball gods, like they ended up getting put out in the first round or something. But I feel like there was a year where people were at least talking about, oh, don't you want to drop to seven? Don't you want to, or drop to eight? You know, like that kind of thing. Like, yeah. I feel like even in regular years, at the end of it.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.